Awesome. Well, today our story centers around the story of David and Goliath. And now memory verse is starting to make a little bit of sense, right? Before I tell our story of David and Goliath, my kids are actually going to come up here and help me in a minute. But before they do, I wanted to ask, is anybody here 6 foot tall or maybe even a little bit taller than 6 feet tall? Wow, look at these young strapping lads. Lester, fantastic. Lester, can I ask you to come up here? I want to show you guys how big Goliath really was. Lester, can you stand on the top of the stage? That was the height of Goliath. He was about 9 feet tall, and I'm estimating that these steps are maybe around 3 feet. So this is about how high Goliath is. And who here is 13 years old, or maybe 13 or 14? Can you come up here? And can you stand at the bottom of the stairs next to Lester here? Okay, this is the height difference between David and Goliath. Okay, so kids, Goliath was like a giant. He was that tall, and David was around 13 years old, and he was probably about this tall, and he decided he was going to fight Goliath. Is that pretty cool? He's almost about half the height. Like, that's pretty incredible. All right, can we give them a hand? You guys can go sit down. Okay, so this is our story, and I actually would like some volunteers to help act this out for me. So if you want to come and volunteer, can you just come stand next to me and you can come act this out? Fantastic. That'll help us. You can come stand up. Okay, so we have an army of Israel. These are the good guys, right? A whole army of Israel, and they're coming up against the army of the Philistines, and they're the bad guys. And so you guys are going to go off to war. So can you guys go over there and you're going off to war to go fight the bad guys? You can go with Ali as well. You can go as well if you like. Okay, so they're off to go fight. And then we have David. Mercy, can you come up the front? Because you're our David today. Come on. You can stand next to me. That's right. Yep. And David is looking after the sheep. Okay, and you guys can be our sheep. Can you give me a bar? Okay, fantastic. So David's here looking after sheep, making sure the sheep have everything they need. But then David's dad says to David, your brothers who are fighting over there are getting hungry. Can you bring them some lunch? And David said, yep. Fantastic. And so David gathers some lunch for them and for the other guys who are fighting and brings it over to the army. And says, hey guys, here's some lunch, and gives them some lunch. Yum, delicious. And while David was over giving lunch to his brothers, he sees this big giant come and walk into the middle of the battlefield, and his name was Goliath. I'm going to be Goliath today because I think the height difference between me and Mercy is approximately the height difference between a giant Lester and a 13-year-old. So this is our David and Goliath analogy here. And Goliath steps out and starts yelling insults to the Israelites. And this is his challenge. He says, Israelite army, stinky guys, if you can beat me in a one-on-one battle, then all of the Philistines will become your slaves. But if I beat one of you in a one-on-one battle, then all of the Israelites have to become my slaves. Okay? Now, all of the Israelite army were scared of Goliath. Can you show us some scaredness? Oh, perfect. Well done. They're scared of Goliath. But while David's there and hearing Goliath say this, David goes, how dare he mock the armies of God? Doesn't he know that God is awesome? And so David says, that's it. I'm going to go fight. And David's brothers go, no, you shouldn't do that. Stop being silly. Anybody else here have like that younger brother that always reckons they could beat him in a fight and they just can't? It's like my younger brother. It's just never going to happen. But, you know, high aspirations. So that's what they're thinking, that, you know, David, come on. Like, yeah, you shadow box in the shower, but you've never actually had any fighting experience. You can't do this. But David goes, hang on, I can do this because God is with me. So he goes to see King Saul. And after this big discussion with King Saul goes, I guess, what have we got to lose? And sends David out. David picks up some stones from the ground. Can you pick up some stones? Okay, here's your rocks. Yep. And walks over to Goliath and slings a sling like this. Fantastic. And throws this stone right into the middle of Goliath's head. Boom. And Goliath falls to the ground and he's dead. And the armies of Israel win and they chase the Philistines away. All right, can we give our volunteers a hand? And God was with David and made sure that David had the victory. And that's why our memory verse today was about God giving you victory against your enemies. You know, it's really easy with a story like David and Goliath to become really comfortable and used to the story, that you feel like you already know what it has to teach you. But I really want to encourage you today, as we look at the story of David and Goliath, to open your mind to the fact that there is actually a lot in this story that you can learn from. There's not just one lesson you can learn from the story of David and Goliath, but there's lots. And so I want to dive into that with you this morning and share just a revelation that God's given me about the story of David and Goliath. So we've heard the story, and I kind of brushed over during the story this interaction that David has with Saul, King Saul. And this is a really significant interaction that I want to read out for you, because I want to just pull out some stuff that God was speaking to me about in this interaction. So it should be up there on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Yeah, fantastic. And we begin in verse 31. Why don't you read along with me as I tell you the story? So when the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine," right? Pretty brave. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. And he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father." In other words, I used to keep sheep for my father. "And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him." That's like a manly 13-year-old, right? Just like grabbing lions by the beard and striking them to kill them. Anyway, it's pretty cool. "Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." This is a really cool interaction between David and Saul. David must have been so charismatic or so persuasive with his arguments that he allows Saul to put the future of the Israelites in the hands of a young boy. Like, this is really significant. It begins with Saul saying, "There's no chance we're sending you out there, you're just a kid." And it ends with him saying, "Go and may the Lord be with you, may the force be with you." Like, you know, this is just, it's really a significant change. And so what changes in Saul's mind? And I want to explore that with you today. I actually want to look at this story from three different perspectives, okay? And we're going to go through each perspective one at a time. But first, I want to tell you about what happens right before this. Now, David's filled with a lot of faith and a lot of, like, he's running on cloud nine at the moment, because right before this story, he's actually anointed as king of all of Israel. He's not the king yet, but Samuel has come to his house and he's anointed him as king of Israel. So he's feeling pretty good about himself right about now, I'm sure. And not only that, King Saul doesn't know that David's the next anointed king at this stage. And he has had David coming to visit him regularly to play the harp in order for the tormenting spirits that the Lord had sent to King Saul, for them to be quietened as he plays the harp for King Saul. So that's been David's role. He's been coming into the king's court, playing the harp. He's probably looking at the king's throne and going, "That's mine to inherit," right? Because he's just been anointed as king from the prophet of the Lord. And so he's kind of running on cloud nine at the moment. So when he sees Goliath, he's not just going, I can take this on. But he's seeing a threat to his future kingdom. And so what David does is he's going, well, the Lord will be with me because my kingdom thus far has been my sheep, but my kingdom eventually will be all of Israel, and God has helped me protect my little kingdom of sheep, and so he will help me protect my kingdom of Israel. And so David's coming in with this mindset, right? This is the context in which we enter our story. And of course, all of his brothers, you know, they're just thinking, you know, what does this kid know? But it centers in on this great revelation that David has, and it's to do with the promise that was given to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. I talked about this last week, and the promise was that the Lord would be with him. In Psalm chapter 23, we have a verse from a psalm of David, and this is what it says: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And then he says this: "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." See, David understands and holds on to the promise that was given to his ancestors that he's an inheritor of because he's in the Israel and from the tribe of Judah, that this is his promise too, that God would be with him. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And so the three perspectives I want to read this story out of all come from this understanding that God is with you. The first perspective I want to look at this from is the perspective of growth. Can everyone say growth? Growth. Okay. Goliath obviously had grown to a ginormous size, but there was a different type of growth that was happening in David. David might not have been exceptionally tall. Even King Saul is described as standing, you know, head and shoulders above, you know, a crowd, and he's quite tall. That's not the way that God describes David. See, God had done a different type of growth inside of David. When Saul is questioning whether David could even do this, like, "Are you sure?" we see that David explains the type of path he's gotten on to get to where he is today. And he says, "Well, whenever a lion or a bear would come and attack my flock, I would kill it. I'd go and take the sheep off it and tail it off. And if it came at me, I'd then just kill it. I'd grab it by the beard and strike it until it died," right? And it's pretty cool. And so we understand that there was actually a training ground for David, that God had actually provided opportunities for David so that when he would eventually come to his Goliath moment, he would be ready. And sometimes we don't see those bear and lion type things in our lives as something that there to train us or prepare us for what's ahead. We see these lion and bear moments as these attacks from the enemy that we just pray God would get rid of, make it go away. "I don't want to deal with that, make it go away. I don't want to have to do any work with this, make it go away." But what we need to realize is that sometimes a bear or a lion type of attack can come in our life, and it's so that it can train us for what's ahead. If David had never dealt with the bears and lions and had just been a victim of bears and lions and watched his flock diminish and diminish and diminish, we would never have seen him ready to fight Goliath. He would have been standing with the rest of the Israelite army, the same sort of attitude towards towards Goliath as what the Israelite army had, which was that they are victims of their circumstance. But instead, David saw it as an opportunity and saw the path behind him and how it led him to where he is today. I remember I sat down with my granddad one day. I had this awesome opportunity to help Dad build his deck at the back of his house. I don't know if you've ever seen my parents' deck. It's quite nice. And so I was working and doing, I can't remember if I was doing uni or year 12 at this time. And so I was helping Dad in my spare time build the deck. And what was really cool about that is that Granddad was also helping Dad build the deck. And so I got to spend lots of quality time with Granddad as we were, you know, nailing boards down and doing all the things that you do. And as we're doing this, my granddad begins to just tell me the story of how God got him into ministry in the first place. And he was a full-time pastoral care pastor down at what is now known as Imaginations Church. And so He told me about all these things that were just happening in his life that were so random. God asked him to move from the country out into the city, Penrith. God had asked him to sell a business that was running really well so that he could give more time to church. I mean, there was just all these things that had happened. This opportunity for him to be working in this car garage and then eventually own a mechanics and all of that sort of thing. And all of it was leading him to this place where he was ready for ministry. He was telling me how in order for him to run the mechanic shop, he had to be able to talk to people. And for him, it was really difficult because he's a stutterer. He has a terrible stutter when he tries to talk. He still has a little bit of one. And he hated talking to people. He grew up on a farm. He was very happy just talking to the sheep, maybe a bit like David. And so for him to have to learn to talk to people, it was like the worst thing ever. What he didn't know was God was getting him ready for pastoral care ministry, right? And so as he was learning what it meant to run this mechanic shop, he's having to talk to customers and hear from them what's going on with their car and explain to them what he can do, and he's having to sell himself and all that sort of thing. And then he also had a lawn mowing business, and exact same thing. He's having to talk to people and he's having to, you know, gather more business and be relational and all that sort of customer service side of things. And what he looks back now on those times in his life, and he hated doing those things, but he realizes God was preparing him for his ministry later. There was a bigger thing that God had called him to, and God had been preparing him all along. I remember when I first started working for my boss, he didn't like dealing with angry customers. And so he knew that one day I wanted to be a pastor, and so he called it ministry training. Yeah. And so whenever there was an angry customer or, a bad warranty or whatever it was, I was the one that had to make the uncomfortable phone call and talk to the person that yelled across the phone, right? I used to have knots in my stomach. I would leave the phone calls until like I finished work at 4. I'd leave them to like 3:55 in the hopes that the customer wouldn't pick up so I wouldn't have to speak to them until the next day, right? Like I just hated it. And I'd sweat over it all day, obviously. And then I'd go home if they didn't answer and I'd be worrying about it all night and I'd struggle to go to sleep and then I'd have to wake up the next day and deal with it, right? So I hated this, but my boss unrelentingly put me through ministry training the whole entire time I worked there, to the point now that I'm back working there a couple of days a week and still now I get given all of these customers. But there came this time where I became very comfortable with the uncomfortable phone call. I was okay handling people's disappointment and frustrations and stress and having people let it all out on me, right? And in leadership, there are always times where you have to have these uncomfortable conversations you don't want to have. And I've become so much more comfortable with having those conversations because God was preparing me way back when. And so we need to recognize that when there's lion and bear moments in our lives, times where we don't want to have to deal with the problem and it feels like an attack on us, we need to understand that that's the training grounds in which God creates growth in us. You know, there's this element of those who are trusted with little will be trusted with much. This is what Jesus says, right? Those who are faithful with little will be faithful with much. And so when God puts us through these moments where it's like, will you be faithful to your responsibility in this moment despite the fact that it's unfair and there's an attack on you? Because if you will be faithful, I'll entrust you with even more. And for David, he was given this sheep, these sheep, and for him it was, well, are you going to be faithful with your flock in protecting them? Because if I can see that you're faithful, I'll give you more. And for David, the more was Goliath. And so there was this time where he was, okay, God was testing him with Goliath. Are you going to be faithful with this battle with the army of Israel on the line, right? Will you be faithful in this battle? And if you are, I'm going to give you more. And we know that he's faithful in the battle. He goes out to battle Goliath and God goes, okay, you're ready for more. And soon, not long after this, he becomes king of all of Israel. And now David has to be faithful with the whole kingdom of God's people, right? Big responsibility. But it began back when he was looking at sheep. So the first perspective we looked at is growth. The second perspective I want to look at is grace. I've heard many sermons about David and Goliath. that talk about the lion and the bear and how they train you and all that. It's my first point. There's a lot of relevance there, right? But I think we can get so distracted with looking at the how we need to strengthen ourselves and grow and be ready by fighting the lion and the bear so that we're ready to fight the bigger fight, right? And there's certainly an element of that. But what does David say? See, when David's talking to Saul about the lion and the bear, he doesn't say, and I was strong enough then, and so I'll be strong enough now. That's not what David says. There was certainly a growth moment for him, but this is what David says. He says this, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." David understood something. In all of his growth moments before this, where he was growing and maturing and being faithful with little so that he could be faithful with more, in all of that going on, he understood that it was never in his strength. It was always the Lord that delivered him. And so for David, he's coming to Goliath not going, "I know that I'm strong enough now to handle this." He's coming to Goliath going, "Well, if God has been faithful enough in the smaller things, I can also trust God to be faithful in the bigger things." See, there's an element that totally flips here as well. It's not just the God has been, that I have been faithful with little and so I will be faithful with much, but it's also in our own faith in God that we know God was faithful in the little things we trusted him in, and so now we know that God will be faithful in the bigger things that we trust him in. And David needed to know this because this was the first of many battles for David. And so this is him learning, hey, God is faithful to me. Even in impossible circumstances, he will deliver me. Even when later the king of Israel, along with the enemy kings, are trying to kill David, God will be faithful in delivering him. Isn't that significant? And so we have to look at this from a grace perspective. Yes, we learn and we grow and we strengthen and we mature so that we can be more capable and responsible with our stuff. But we have to understand that it is purely by God's grace that any of us stand here today. It is the grace of God that allows us to fight the battles that we fight. And so when we pray, yeah, we pray that God will give us strength, but we pray that he'd deliver us. It's the balance of our responsibility and what God's asking us to do, and also God's responsibility in that as well. You know, we'll take full responsibility for everything that God gives us, and we'll do our very best in that thing. I think about working a job, right? When we get a job, and that job is terrible, and we just want a promotion so we can be paid more, or a job in a different field so that we can enjoy work more, or whatever it is, we have our own responsibility in doing that thing. Whatever the thing is, we have responsibility in doing that really well. But we also pray, God, would you give me the next step? We don't start not caring about our job and doing a terrible job of our job, of the thing that we've been entrusted to, because we're praying, well, God, would you deliver us from this terrible job? We do both. We take full responsibility at that moment and go, I'm going to do this the best I can so that I'm worthy for that promotion, or so that other employers might see me and be more willing to hire me. And I'm going to go hand out my resume to those places. I'm going to do my research into what kind of job I want and all that sort of thing. But at the same hand, we go, and God, would you provide open doors and opportunities as I do that? There's the growth that we go through, and there's the grace that we go through, right? So David's understanding both these things. The third perspective I want to look at this story from is the generations. I did all three G's. Are you proud of me? Yeah. I'm glad. I'm glad some of you noticed. Yep. Growth, grace, and generations. Something really significant happens in the beginning of the story of King Saul and David's interaction in Saul's tent. Saul says this to him. He says, you can't go fight this Philistine because you are but a youth. And Goliath, he's been trained since his youth. Really powerful statement there. And I hope you can understand our heart behind our family services. I want our kids to be trained from their youth. Because as I look around this room, in the seats next to you, and on the floor in front of us here, and in the back seat of my car on the way home, I see future ministers, future missionaries to their job. Dave always says to me, he's the pastor of his workplace, right? I love that perspective on who you are and in where you are. I see future spiritual parents, future actual parents, future mentors, future workers in the kingdom of God. And if we're not careful, our generations, we can say to them, oh, that fight isn't for you. Ministry's not for you yet. You're but a youth. Leave it to the ones who are trained since their youth. Because we realize here that there is a deficiency in King Saul's thinking. Because for the Philistines, they understood what it meant to train from their youth, right? Goliath didn't just become an epic fighter overnight. He says he was trained from his youth. Why wasn't King Saul training his troops from his youth? See, there was not a generational thinking in his mindset. We need to be generationally thinking in our mindsets. If David was not trained by God, because we now learn David was trained from his youth, right? Just wasn't in the ways that you'd expect. If David wasn't trained by God through his youth, he was not going to be ready for the fight against Goliath. And I want to set these guys up for great success in the future. Can you imagine, guys, in February, our church is 10 years old. Isn't that cool? By the way, we're having a big 10-year party here. And we're doing Vision Sunday here for the first time ever, which is going to be really cool, okay? So anyway, that's all side note. we're 10 years old very soon. In another 10 years, because that's gone quick, guys, in another 10 years, these guys will be the ones sharing their revelations on the stories. In another 10 years' time, our youth team will be way older and cheering on the next youth team. In 10 years' time, I'm retiring. No, just kidding. In 10 years' time, we could see these young people doing awesome things and we could pass the baton on to them really strong and go for it and run. And we can just sit back and champion and encourage and participate and help and lend a hand wherever we can. But in order for us to be able to do that, it begins now. With us going, we're making intentional decisions to set you up for awesomeness. Part of that means, like, for us, sacrificing so that we can have our building one day, which we're still working towards. In 10 years' time, we'll have a building for them. We'll have a place where they don't have to bump in and out of a school or, if something goes on where schools can't let us in again or anything like that, it doesn't affect them because we've set them up for a place of strength. And so in all of this, I want us to be able to look at our battles with our lions and our bears and our Goliaths and whatever it is, that the things that we face, and go, these are generational consequence type of decisions that we make. And if I'm going to play the victim of circumstance card, hey, which is fair enough. If I was looking after sheep and a bear or a lion came and took a sheep, I am totally vindicated in going, well, that sucks. Not much I can do about that, right? They didn't have rifles back then, and I wouldn't want to take on a bear with a club. But David didn't choose the victim of circumstance card. He chose growth and grace card and said, I'm going to understand this is my growth moment. I'm going to understand that God has grace enough to deliver me from the paw of the bear and the lion. And he set his generations up for success because he knew that there was something bigger coming. And for us, if we go back to the faith with little and faithful with much thing, we need to start giving our youth and our young people opportunities to be faithful with little so that they can be faithful with much. I think about Sophia, who one day will be preaching a sermon up here, I am sure, right? She's just so talented up here on the microphone, and she nails it when she runs the game up here. Like, nails it. When I was Sophia's age, I wouldn't have gotten up out of my chair, similar to my daughter today when we were doing the story, right? But we're giving opportunities faithful with little so that she can be faithful with much. Because that's the kind of church we are, where we believe in the generations and we want to set them up for success. And not ever do I want to say to our young people, oh, you're but a youth. We need someone who is trained since a youth. I want to say we have a whole entire kids ministry of kids that are trained from their youth, and what an awesome future our church has. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, we just thank you for our church and how you've positioned us here and the role we play in the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to be faithful with what you give us. God, help us to understand our responsibility in your kingdom and what you've asked of us and what you've called us to. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be faithful in that. And God, we recognize that it is purely by your grace that we get through those trials. And so, Lord, we pray once again, would you deliver us from any of those trials that we go through? And help us to look to the generations, we pray. In your name, Jesus, amen.